Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, where we celebrate the joy in just being you. I'm Natasha, your certified sex and intimacy coach and clinical sexologist. Just call me your guide to unlocking pleasure. With years of experience in helping individuals embrace pleasure beyond sex, I'm here to empower you to rediscover the beauty of pleasure in every aspect of life. So settle in, relax, and get ready to savor the wisdom and insights we're about to drop. This is your space to be present, learn, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I am your host, Natasha. And yes, I sound congested because the little one has passed on whatever he got going on to me. So, you know, I'm just out here breathing through one nostril. Luckily, this episode is a guest episode, so I've already recorded for you. I'm really excited about this episode. So if you are new, thank you so much for taking your time to listen to me and the information that I have about pleasure and intimacy. And soon to come, we're going to talk more about sex, not on a grand scale, but like on a really like subtle scale. So this particular episode, I did an interview with Brandy. She is a stylist, and her story, just listening to her talk about her relationship with her body and always looking for it to be better until she decided to love what was in the present moment, it choked me up, because I don't think there's anyone that's going to listen to this episode and not understand and feel exactly what she's talking about, especially if your body doesn't do what you thought it was supposed to do. Like if you're suffering from infertility, or you've had kids and the body doesn't look the way that it used to, or you suffer from chronic illness and it's just like your body is almost turning against you, this is the perfect episode for you. Now, before I introduce our guest, I want to give you and extend you an invitation over to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman XXX, where we get a little bit more raunchier, right? Like we are diving into exploring things that you probably don't talk about with your friends because it possibly could come with shame, judgment, embarrassment, it's taboo, things that you've been told all your life that Black girls don't do. So if you are looking for a safe space to ask questions, to understand, to explore, head over there to the link. It's in the show notes. I would love to give you all the things. It comes with a monthly treasure chest review of a toy or something that I've been able to indulge in and giving you a review, a position of the month, and also weekly episodes of the podcast. They're really quick, giving you real information Monday through Friday. So come join us over there if you're curious, okay? So let's get into introducing Brandy. Brandy is she's a Bay Area native who now calls Houston, Texas home after a decade and a half of living in New York City. She started her professional career in learning and development, which she goes deeper into about how she went from the classroom to helping women shine and live their joy and their purpose out loud. She starts with style. But the style is authentic to you. It works for your real life and you don't have to compromise because life is lifing, right? And we don't want to be struggling with what's in our closet. She wants you to feel comfortable and stylish, and she's here to inspire you and teach you how to do it. So I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed having this conversation with her. Enjoy. So thank you so much for joining me, Brandy. This is right on time because me and I know people that are following me are in a transition of figuring out what the hell our style is. So can you first tell us, how did you get into styling? How did that become a thing for you?
Yeah, it's I think it's a fun story. It's a little windy, but y'all stick with me. So my professional background before styling was in learning and development. So I worked in education nonprofit reform for a number of years, had a bunch of roles there as an executive, as a leader. I led large teams at scale, really focusing in on curriculum and instructional design for school districts, but also state departments of education. Sometimes we even advise on federal policy. All of that with the mission of improving educational equity and equality for our nation's Black and Brown children. And that was what I did for like years and years and years. It's what I was known for. That's where I had like credibility in the space. And so when people ask me, they're like, how do you get from that into like fashion or style? You know, it like seems, but like, and I'll tell you what the like how I got here specifically. But for me, I'm doing the same thing. Like I'm using my gifts in a different space. But truly, what it is for me is all about helping someone unlock the tools that they have within themselves to be greater, and just showing them that pathway. So whether that's, you know, I was a teacher in Hayward, California, you know, for a bit, you know, so whether that's, you know, teaching a seventh grader to read, who's reading on a second grade level, or training the next generation of teachers to, you know, really be, you know, really awesome for our kids. Or I've been an assistant professor at a grad school, you know, all of those different experiences. And also with the women that I style, I'm providing them with a toolkit for them to really just be able to step even more fully into who they are and to who they're becoming. So I grew up with a family of, you know, Black matriarchs, families originally from Louisiana. They moved to California when my grandmother was about eight. So I had the fortune, the privilege of really knowing my great grandmother. And she was with us until I was about 12 or 13. And then my grandmother as well, obviously my mom, my aunt, like just style, right? Like I think especially for my great grandmother and my grandmother, just growing up in the South or even in California, right? But just growing up as a Black woman in the times that they grew up, style for them, I always saw as you were saying to the world that you were somebody in a world that was determined to tell you that you were nothing. And so my grandmother is still with us, God bless her. She's 88 years old. And I saw her over the summer, and she'll be like going to like Costco or like the doctor or whatever. And like when I tell you, ma'am is dressed,
Because
okay?
you
She
won't
is,
catch her out here slipping.
you will not. You will not. And like she has levels, right? Like it might be like a casual, you know, Costco day, but you can't tell her nothing. Like the outfit is an outfit. The outfit is outfitting. And so I just kind of grew up with that, with the sense of like when you leave the house, you are communicating something about yourself. And you know, it might be for the other person, but it's also just for you. You know, my grandmother, she used to sew a ton. You know, they've been doing well, she and my grandfather, in terms of finances for a long time now, but that was not always the case. And so she would, you know, sew patterns from Vogue. You know, it was like if you didn't have, you made. But that's how important that was to her. So kind of grew up with that. So style was always something that I thought was just like cool and fun and like kind of just like natural and interesting. And I make the distinction between style and fashion. I was not a kid who grew up like, where's the next Vogue, you know, magazine? You know, like I was not trying to study that. And to this day, like I actually have like very little like desire to like really be plugged into haute couture and high fashion. I have to as like research for what I do because obviously that's the trickle down for what we'll see in like mass market. So like I need to know trends and that sort of thing, but like it just doesn't do much for me. And I very much make the distinction of like fashion can often feel like something that is being done to us. It's this sense, right, of like this is what you should be doing, like, or if you're this size or not this size. I'm like, I don't know if you go here, right? It just has to me just a lot of exclusivity to it. Whereas style, you own that. It is yours. It is whatever you want it to be. And so yeah, I was in education for like ever and ever. And I have endometriosis, and so they're always changing my medications to try and, you know, better control and suppress it. And so I had just been promoted, I think for like the second time in the organization, so I was leading like a much bigger team, client facing. We were on site. We were working with New York City, which is, you know, the largest school district in the country. And I was heading up like a really big department. And they changed my medication, and I gained a significant amount of weight in a very short period of time. And as someone who had always been fairly small in terms of size. The amount of weight, like, it doesn't really matter, right? What matters is, like, it changed my body so much so quickly. And I was in a position of privilege, like, I had never dealt with that before. And so I did what I think a lot of us do when we have these body changes, is I just tried to pray it away. You know, it was like, this isn't me. This is temporary. You know, I joined a gym. I avoided the candy bowl at work, right? I was like,
The
no, this isn't, you know,
potlucks,
the
no
potluck, right? It was like,
potlucks.
no, I brought a salad, you know. Meanwhile, you're like salivating. You know, I was doing the things I thought I was supposed to do. And what I didn't realize was because I was buying, I had to buy clothes, right? Like, I would literally sit on the edge of my bed every morning and cry because nothing fit. So I had to buy clothes just to be able to, like, button and zip them. But, like, were they fashionable? No. Absolutely not. Like, it was like functional, appropriate, but like joyful? No. Fashionable? No. Stylish? No. And so, what I didn't realize at the time is that I was punishing myself. I was punishing myself for gaining the weight. And the way that I was punishing myself was by refusing to invest in the body I didn't want.
Oh, wait. Oh, that just gave me chills. Oh my gosh.
And, you know, and like, that's what we're doing, right? Every time we do this, like, well, girl, I just gotta lose 10 pounds and we can go on vacation, or I just need to, you know, I'm working on my fitness, I'm gonna get this snatch waist. Like, have whatever goals you want, but I invite you to think about all the times you have waited to lose weight to do the thing you want to do. Most often that is us waiting to feel worthy of doing the thing we want to do in the body we have. And so that was really a turning point for me, because I mean, I was struggling. And I was living in New York at the time, right? So we had, you know, real seasons. I live, you know, in Texas now. So, like, we don't really have that. But there, you know, I got through the fall, I got through the winter in my, like, functional, appropriate business casual uniform that was so, I was bored to tears by. And when spring came, I was like, we gotta make a choice. Like, this is like, because I had to buy new clothes again, right? The weight was not budging. And I was like, you know what? I'm choosing myself. I'm choosing myself. And I went out, I sought out new silhouettes. I tried new things. Like, I was never a person who liked wearing shorts. I figured out what shorts look good on me, even in a bigger body, right? So it was like this, like, for me, this homecoming of, like, you can, style is part of your identity. You've always loved it. It's part of your DNA. You are worthy of doing that in a body that you don't recognize. And so that's really kind of like my origin story. Fast forward, long story short, long story longer. I did end up training with Stacey London from TV's What Not to Wear. That's where I got more of my, like, I formalized my training, and then started my business full time in about a year and a half after that.
That is amazing. And I over here, I don't know what all this work that I've been doing, I get emotional at the drop of a dime. And let me tell you something, I can't stand it. But that just because I have multiple clients that have had babies and they just are struggling to love the new body. And it's like, oh, but I want to get back to that pre-baby body. And then we have to go through the process of, no, honey, you're gonna have to love the body that is. I have clients that like struggle with infertility, and it's like my body is betraying me, and I hate my body because it's not doing the one thing it's supposed to be doing for me that I've been told all my life that's why I'm here. And so I just sit with these clients, and it just like gives me chills because that is where it all begins, right? Like the body is where we gain the confidence, and our bodies as Black women is where we are like from the littlest of ages, it's used against us.
Yes,
So
it's
we're never
weaponized.
really told how to love our bodies. We're told how to use it to get what we need or to not do what we're not supposed to be doing with it. But we're never told how to cherish and love on our bodies. And just listening to you and hearing your story, it's just like it's a forever thing. Because even in the midst of transitioning, you still feel, how do I love this body? Because I know I'm doing all the things and it's not doing what I want it to do, but we still gonna show it love. We're still gonna adorn it and all of that. So I love your story, and a couple things come up for me, and I want to get, your thoughts on it. So you were talking about when you show up and you go out, we show up. But we have been in a situation for 3.5 years where we didn't have to go out and show up because the world shut down. And now we're trying to figure out, like, we've gained weight, we have stopped buying clothes. Let me tell you, the first thing that I got rid of was the bra. So how do we get back into after being locked up for so long and constantly on edge about the fact that we might be locked up again? How do you incorporate style when you don't have to go out?
So what I love about this question is, like, I find so often when we talk about style or fashion or whatever, it really feels like something that, like, either we have to do or we're dragged to, or it has betrayed us at times, or we just can't figure it out. Or for a lot of my clients, I put them in the category of really this feeling of, like, I had it and I lost it. And we blame our bodies, right? It's exactly what you said. So I worked with I mean, like, over 90% of my clients are women with children, with biological children, right? And so body changes and all of that. And, for so many of them, they were waiting on snapback. They were waiting
Oh,
on bounce
yes.
back, right? And so what I work with them on is, like, everything else in life is about moving forward, accomplishing your goals, growing, progress. And yet, as women, we are conditioned that aging and pregnancy are the two things in life where you should aspire to go backwards. That you should aspire to go backward, literally go backwards in time.
Which logically makes no
No
sense.
sense. No sense. It's a setup, it's a game. So, I think just, like, even coming from the place of, like, oh, bodies are meant to change and evolve. Oh, it is unrealistic to think that my body will remain the same for, God willing, 80 plus years on earth. Like, that is just ridiculous, but that's how we're conditioned, right? So if we're constantly living in this mindset of how do I get back, we are never living in the present and we are never fully pursuing our dreams in the future. And so the way that I relate that to, the pandemic and what's going on is, for me, style became my superpower, right? It went from this thing that was like, I don't even want to leave my house. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to dress this body. Now I got a role here. Like, what how am I putting on that J.Crew pencil skirt now? Like, what, like, it really just, like, really destabilized my sense of, I felt like I just no longer knew what to do. And I hear that a lot from my clients. And so style is what we're talking about, but I'm a fit specialist, meaning we start with body shape. And I'm not talking fruits and triangles and, like, all this, like, craziness that we as
Yeah,
women have to,
you definitely got me together because I was on TikTok. Like, I'm an inverted triangle and
Right. And I was like, back away, back away.
But
And
everyone doesn't have a you, right? Like
right.
we have Instagram and we have TikTok. And so had
Yeah.
I not had a conversation with you, I would have never known. Don't go with the shapes and don't go with the fruits.
Don't go with the fruits. And listen, like, to your point, we're all doing the best we can, right? We're seeking out information because we do have a desire for change. But so my issue with the fruits and the shapes and all of that is it generally doesn't take into account body changes. So if you're, say, for me, like, I would be classified, right, as, like, a pear shape, right? But when I was smaller, girl, that pear would have been so slim. I mean, it barely, like, what are we doing? Like, can you call it a pear if there's no, like, real apparent curve to it, right? But the curve is still there. So it's like, for you to tell me I should be wearing the same thing as someone who really has a much more predominant curve in their hips doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So the way that I style my clients is we really look at your body proportions. And I am going to land this plane, I promise, on the pandemic dressing. But so the reason I share this with you is when you think about your body proportions, and I invite anyone listening to this to do this. Most of us have a zone of our body, top or bottom, that is bigger than the other zone, meaning your bust is bigger than your hips and thighs, or vice versa. Okay. Or you are more straight up and down, right? Maybe your bust and your hip measurement are pretty similar, but you have more breadth in your rib cage. That's true for so many women. Like a snatched waist, like this is why, the rumors Janet Jackson had to remove a rib. Like that is not common. It is not actually common for a vast majority of women to have a lot of cinching or definition in their waist. That's why there were corsets. That's why there's like all these things to make it look like that, because it's not natural. So you either have a straighter body type or you might be proportional, where top and bottom are pretty similar, but you do have that definition in the waist. That's about 6% of women in America, flat out. So all the hourglasses, all the things society tells us we're supposed to be looking for, like it's not very normally occurring. So I say all that to say your proportions, and I invite you to think about this, when you have gained weight or lost weight, the ratio of top and bottom stays the same. Meaning my hips and thighs, I call them track thighs because I ran track for a long time. So my hips and thighs have always been a little bit bigger than my bust. Okay. That was true when I was a size four. It is true for me at a 16, 18. The proportions of my body are the same. Yes, everything has gotten larger, but I'm not going to wake up one day. Like if you're sitting there with a B cup, you're not going to wake up one day 100 pounds, heavier and have your bust ever be bigger than your hips and thighs if that's how you started out. It's not going to happen. So when you start to think about your body in the proportions of your body and you learn how to dress your top half and your bottom half, you will always know how to get dressed. The fear that so many of us have about if I gain weight, I won't know what to do, you take that completely out of the equation. I have been all the sizes and I've always known how to get dressed. Yes, partially because it's my job, right? Like this is what I study, but I wasn't there, right? I was sad. I was crying on the edge of my bed. I didn't know. And so this is what I discovered. And even now, like this is what I want to talk about the pandemic stuff, right? Like we weren't going anywhere. For a lot of us, it was like, oh, thank God. Like I can take off the bra, I can put
Oh
on
my
these
gosh,
joggers.
yes.
Like y'all, I've been, because the reason for that is so many of us have been wearing costumes for so long that when we finally had the chance to put them down, we realized we didn't ever want to go back, ever. So if you've gained weight over the past 3 years, most likely what worked for you then will work for you now if you're thinking about dressing your body proportions and not your body size. We are taught to dress our body size. We are taught that if you're this size, you get to wear this. But if you're that size, ooh, girl, that's off limits. That only looks good on this type of, right? So that's just not true. It's just not true. You can be a size two or a 22, and both of those people can have the same body shape. So, I think for so many of us, style, it can become a superpower in the sense of that is your opportunity to figure out what you really want. And so for me, back then with that origin story, right, what I figured out was my clothes are boring me to tears. I'm actually a much more colorful person. I like dressing with a lot of color. Yes, I'm still working in a conservative environment, but if I'm going to buy a pencil skirt, it's going to be hot orange. I don't
Yes,
have to
hot
wear gray
orange.
pinstripes. Okay.
Yes.
And like it's below my knee. You're not going to sit there and tell me I don't look professional. You're not going to do it. So it was a way for me to understand my body proportions and dress myself in a more flattering way. But also, it was like a rebirthing of like, who do I actually want to be? And so any of us can do that. And I think the pandemic is actually a great time to do that. Cause like I said, for a lot of us, we put stuff down. We were like, I talk to women all the time. They're like, girl, I got a bin under my bed of like work clothes. Okay. Work clothes. And we all know what that means. Like I call a work pants are pants that you would never, I mean, never buy unless you had an office job to go to.
Yeah, those trousers.
Trousers. Trousers.
I
Okay.
lucked up. I had to wear scrubs, so I was good
Yeah, you were like,
to go.
you're like, I opted out. I opted out. But like, you know, for any of us who've worked in that, you know, business casual or office environment, whatever it is, it's like, ugh. And so I think this is actually a really great opportunity for us to say, what do I really want? What do I really want? Maybe I was dressing a certain way for so long because I felt like I had to. I felt like I should. I felt like that was my entry into fitting in, right? Into acceptance, into belonging. All those things matter, right? But when you really think about it, you being more of yourself will get you more of what you want in life. You blending in and following shoulds keeps you small, keeps you limited, keeps you stuck. So there's always a way to do style in the way that you want and still have it, you know, fit in with like whatever societal things you need to do, right? But you can express yourself so much more. So I'll give you a practical example. A client of mine loved the pandemic, right? She was like, "Ooh, Laura, try, like I'm." She just wore sweatpants for like 2.5 years. She was like, "This is the best thing that's ever happened to me." So she's also chief marketing officer of a very large bank. And so when they started going back hybrid, she was like, "Oh God,
No.
don't make me do it," right? And things had actually gotten a little bit more casual at the bank, you know, because like I'd say banking, finance, there are certain industries where it's not business casual, it's business formal. You know, people are like much more in suits. We don't see that much of that anymore. But for her, she was like, I just don't want to, you know, she's like, this isn't me. And that's what I mean. Like, you get to choose like what's you and what's not. So, like, can she wear sweatpants to work? No. However, we found her this pair of like wide leg, kind of like flowy, they're work pants, right? But they were so comfortable. They pulled on. They didn't like touch her body in a way that made her feel constricted. And she said that's really how she'd been feeling with like so many of her suits and stuff. She just felt like she was just like stuffed into something, you know? So even just finding the silhouette that looked more relaxed, that looked really effortless, but it was still polished and it was still appropriate, allowed her to kind of like blend those worlds together. And she started getting so many compliments because everybody else is doing what everybody else is doing. You know?
And I can admit, me being, I just had a birthday, how old am I? 37. So this is, and I've noticed across TikTok, it's a lot of us in this age range, like, I can't pull off the Charlotte Russe anymore like I
Yeah.
used to, or the Forever 21, but I
Forever
also,
41.
it's like I have no clue what my style is as this grown ass woman, because I've never been here before, never been this grown woman before. And I think, again, going back to social media, it helps, but I feel like for me, and I'm sure some people can relate, it absolutely hurts because we do see the snatch waist. And just for me personally, being transparent, I've always struggled with my body because I don't look like the typical black woman with the fat ass. And like, no, I'm all titty. Like, I am an H when you see me. And I used to be bigger. And when I got a breast reduction, people were like, oh my God, you lost so much weight. No,
No.
I just lost boobs. But I'm just top heavy. And so I struggle sometimes looking and dressing myself because I'm like, I don't have the hips. There are certain things that I can't wear because I don't have the hips to hold it up. I've recognized like skirts just slide down. And so I've always struggled with the social media and just like the societal idea of what a black woman's body should look like and how they're dressing that body. And so having this conversation with you and meeting you has been really helpful. But also, bitch, wear your size. Like I never realized how much I was wearing the wrong size and it made it look crazy. So like, have you come across the people just you're just wearing the wrong thing, like the wrong size, first and foremost?
There are a few things that I would put on a t-shirt, a bumper sticker, what have you. And one of them that people in my audience and my clients know that I say all the time is, girl, go up a size. Just go up a size. And you will be amazed at how you no longer need to lose that 5 pounds. So when your clothes are ill-fitting, a lot of us don't even understand really what that means, right? If you've been wearing things the wrong size for a really long time, you think that's how your body looks in clothes, because it does. But I'll give the example of like the muffin top, right? Which, like, I hate that term, but you know, that's supposed to be when, like, you know, you are wearing whatever, you know, and your stomach is kind of like rolling over the top of your
Yes. Oh
pants,
gosh,
right?
yes.
And I'm always like, okay, but when you get out the shower, buck naked, is that the shape your body makes?
No.
Ding, ding, ding. It's not. So guess what the problem is? Your clothes, not your body. And so helping people understand that your body is not a problem to be fixed. How much easier would it be to move through the world if you knew you could just find different clothes and feel better about your body without changing your body? So I'll find these muffin top girls and be like, okay, so here's what we're about to do. Go get this pant. This is the rise. Like, this is how high it needs to be. It's got to go up and over the fullest part of your midsection. They come back and be like, girl, I never had a muffin top. I'm like, I know. I am aware it's not really a body shape,
Oh, that's
but we get
funny.
conditioned into like really feeling like we have like weird shapes or like my body's weird. You know, it's like, no, your clothes are distorting the proportions of your body. Most of us want to look smoothed out, you know, even if, you know, like I have a very full midsection now, right? It's like a 16, 18, but like there are clothes that make me look like ba-dump, 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 right? It's just like, whoa, like a lot of hills and valleys going on. And then there are clothes where I look more vertical, more up and down, right? Just kind of smoothed out, longer, leaner, whatever you want to call it. That's the clothes. My body hasn't done anything differently. So literally just going up a size might be the one thing you take from this, and it'll revolutionize your world. Yes, there's fit and proportion and all these other things, but like for so many of us, like one size up and you're like, oh, I've been squeezing into things this whole time.
And I do want to say for you all that are listening, you will have a moment of clarity but grief, right? Because your clothes don't fit the way that you think it should. And there is like this law, it's just a feeling of loss. I feel like in everything, when we change as a person and we shift anything, even style, there is this grief and this loss that we have to go through of like, I don't like the way this fits, but you're so conditioned to see it the other way that you have to give yourself time to process, oh no, this is my actual size. And a lot of it is just the number. Like we freak out about
It's
the
the number.
number, but at the end of the day, you will look better, you will feel better, which will also lead you to show up better. Like the pleasure that you're seeking comes with the confidence. And a lot of the confidence comes from how we dress every day.
Yeah, 100%. And that's when I say things like style is your superpower. What I mean by that is, like, you know, when I'm crying on the edge of my bed, you know, those years ago, or even now, right? Like, I think there's a notion, whether it's TikTok or whatever, you know, body neutrality, body positivity, body confidence. You don't have to love your body every single day to respect it enough to dress it well, to respect it enough to be kind, to respect it enough to interrupt a thought where you're about to be mean to yourself.
Oh, I
You
love
don't
that.
have to love your body every single day to do that. And so for me, style has become this thing where it's like my number one fan. It's my number one supporter. I can wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and be like, oh God, oh wow. Okay. I don't remember when this happened, but I guess this is what we're doing now. You know, like my body just something's changed, or I feel heavy that day, or like whatever that is. Knowing that I can rely 100% with confidence on what I have in my closet to make me feel better and look better is priceless. It's priceless because that, if I'm feeling 60% that day, the clothes are going to get me to 80. Right? So it's not that we always have to be in this mindset of like, I love everything. I love my body. I love my... There are days where like, girl, that's just not true. And that's okay. But having like the wardrobe that is so flattering and that allows me to present myself in a way that says, I have my life together. I am not as tired as I look, or not as tired as I feel, excuse me. You know, it's like this, let the style do the work for you on days when you can't. And that's what my wardrobe does. And that's what I do for my clients. So it becomes this thing that supports you instead of you always feeling like you're in a battle with it. Really, what you're battling is your mindset about your body, right? But I think for a lot of my clients, one in particular comes to mind. She'd had her second child. She and her husband had agreed they were going to both try and lose weight, like he gained, quote unquote dad weight. She was still trying to lose baby weight from the first baby, and then she had the second baby, And so she said to me, she was like, I really thought about not working with you because I wanted to lose weight first. And it just happened that like she was starting a new job and finally was just like, oh, like I just got to do it. I don't have any professional clothes. So she decided to sign on. We worked together. By the end of that session, she was like, I'm telling my husband, like, I don't need to lose any weight. He can do whatever he wants, but I look great. Like it literally will change the silhouette of like how you appear in the world when you have on properly fitting. And by fitting, I don't mean the size, I mean the silhouette of the clothes and making sure that really works with your body shape and that you're putting out there the style that you want. You shouldn't be bored by your style. You should be inspired by it, And I think that that's really important. And yeah, like the grief and the loss, of like I've been through all the stages, right? And the size, we get very attached to the number. And we make the number mean a lot of things. And so sometimes even just asking yourself the question of like, if I didn't make this number mean something about myself, how would I move through the world? And just coming at it from that place. Or I know for me, when I have those moments where I'm about to blame my body for something, like I'll try something on and be like, oh, this just doesn't fit right. It's because I'm heavier. And what I challenge myself to do is think about when I was at a smaller size, if I had the same problem. And the answer is generally 99.9% of the time, yes. Yes. Because again, my proportions of my body are the same. I'm not comparing them to anyone else's body. So I used to be a small on top and a medium on the bottom. Now I'm an extra large on top and an XXL on the bottom, right? Like it's the same proportions. They've just gotten bigger at every step, right? But in the same ratio. So if I used to struggle with jeans because I have what my mom likes to call high pockets, so my butt sits up in the back. But so basically like the rise, right, which is kind of like how high the waistband is from the crotch. I need a really, really high back rise. Like my pants have to come up really high in the back to come up and over my butt and come back into my waist. So when I'm trying on a pair of jeans and I'm like, oh, these don't look right. It's because I gain weight. It's like, no, bitch. Like jeans have always been a
The
struggle.
band
Jeans have always been like, this is a rise issue. This is a rise issue. It was the same at 125 pounds as it is at 220. Like, it's the same. So, sometimes we just have to like challenge ourselves to look at the data versus the feeling, right? Like, the data says A certain pair of crop pants on me makes me look like I've had a hard day in the fields. Okay, it is not attractive. It is not a look that I would recommend for myself. And here I go at a new size trying on these pants and being
The
like, oh,
same
they
pants.
don't look right, because I, my stomach's big now. They like, girl, they looked like trash 4 years ago too. So, just understanding those things, I think, can be really powerful.
Even know what to say. This was a really good conversation, and I think it was really, really helpful. And even if working from home on a computer, just getting dressed, fully dressed, y'all, not just the top. I understand, I do it too, but like getting fully dressed, it changes how you show up on the screen. Like it's not about the people, it's about your confidence. It's about how you get to show up when you actually take the time to get dressed. So before we go, I want to ask two things. One, how would you recommend women preparing for this seasonal change? Because when this episode drops, we will be getting ready. For some of us, the time will be changing and that shifts our mood. And the first thing that goes, I know for me, is the wardrobe. Like I get up later, I drag, I'm just gonna throw this dress on and keep it moving. So how can they keep the momentum going even when the days are shifting and changing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this will probably be, in show notes or whatever in terms of like where you can find me, but totally free content. I did like a 10-minute tutorial specifically on how to use what I call outfit formulas to help you make any outfit look better, but also specifically to transition between seasons. So there's like two very specific ways where you can say take, a summer item and combine it with things that feel a little bit more like fall or like winter or whatever, and have it look cohesive where you don't look crazy. So definitely invite y'all to check that out. But in general, I would say it's like you said, a lot of it is like mindset. You know what I mean? Like, and also recognizing seasons are here for a reason. We do slow down when the weather gets colder. We do want to cozy up. We do want to huddle, So that's okay. So really, it's about like for me, I like dressing in fall so much more than summer. Summer to me is like, oh my God, it's hot. Like, I don't really want to think about this.
Don't
I'm
want to
just going to
wear
be sweating
anything at
anyway,
all.
right? I'm like, oh God, I got to look cute. Why? But like fall, I'm like, ooh, she's chic. She's cool. She's this, right? So, I think for you, it's about what is actually going to make you excited to put something on. To put something on. For me, if I'm going outside and I'm like meeting people or networking or whatever, 9 times out of 10, it's a blazer. I just feel like a with it together person who's about her business in a blazer. Not a traditional student blazer, not, the things we used to wear where you just look crazy and you couldn't button them and like everybody looked like they were in a straitjacket. There's a lot of different types of blazers out there. But like that for me, right? And like a really, really cute pair of boots or flats. For me, it's about what I call those completer pieces. The things you put on to complete an outfit, like that is how I zhuzh up my fall. What I'm wearing is what I refer to as base layers, the things that touch your body first, right? So shirt and bottoms or a dress, that can be basic B. It really can. Like that can be a uniform of sorts. But layering something else on, a black denim jacket instead of blue, a field jacket, maybe like a shacket, right? The kind of plaid, like kind of cozy things, but they're longer, right? You put on a boot with a, and when I say boot, it doesn't have to be a heel boot. You could do a lug sole, kind of Doc Marten-esque, right? It's all about your style, but there's so many ways to do that. But yeah, for me, I would say the completer pieces is the easiest way to transition between seasons and not feel like you gotta like completely refigure out what you're doing.
That was very helpful for me because I am the person that throws everything in the bin for the season and it goes up in the attic until it's time to come back out. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should keep some pieces out for the summer, spring that can kind of go, even just the color. Like we don't always have to wear brown, chocolate, burgundy, cream, and black
Yeah,
for
mustard,
the
right?
fall. Yes. So Okay, so that's helpful, and I definitely will put that information in the show notes. And for those who want to work with you, because they said now is the time for me to get my style life together, what do you have going on, or how can they work with you?
Yeah, so I just dropped a new offer, a new way to work with me. It's called 30 Days of Style. And the
Ooh.
impetus of this was really like we're going into like this last quarter of the year. I saw something on Instagram the other day. It said there's 10 Sundays left in the year. I was like,
Oh,
like I'm on one
really?
hand like shocked and also relieved, you know. I'm like, I don't know how I feel, but I know 10 is shocking. But
Yes.
as we think about this season, you know, for a lot of us, you know, holidays coming up, seeing family that is sometimes joyful, that is sometimes tension filled, right? There's so many emotions this time of year, or even you said just the changing of the seasons. Like when I lived in New York, I used to have seasonal affective disorder. Like gray after gray after gray, day after day after day would really get to me. So I was like, what can I do that'll be like low tech, right? We're not trying to add to the stress, but
Right.
very high impact. So it's called 30 Days of Style. We have a 30-minute kickoff call, and then you get 30 days of style coaching via Voxer. It's just an app where you can do text messages, pictures, or voice memos. And I'm there for you. You're going on vacation, or you're going to visit your in-laws, or you're just going back to work, whatever it is, send me a message and be like, hey, this is what I'm thinking of wearing. Or like, hey, like, I don't have any like good boots. Like, what would you recommend? Like, it's a way to have a stylist and a coach right there for you for a month this season to help you just like have the most relaxing, drama-free style season you've maybe ever
Yes.
had. So that's
Yes.
30 Days of Style. That is like my newest brainchild, and I'm super excited about
Ooh.
response to it. It's already been really amazing. So I'd say that's a great way to kind of get a flavor of what I do. Yeah.
I love that. A stylist in your back pocket. You can't go wrong with that, y'all. You
No.
cannot go wrong with that. And you might want to catch it down because, like, you know, today's price is not tomorrow's
That is a fact. That is a fact.
Well, thank you so much, Brandy. I appreciated this conversation. And I'm pretty sure I can find some way to pull you back on because we've got capsule wardrobes. We've got spring and summer, hot girl summer. I don't know if that's still a thing. But like so many things, and I'm sure questions that will come from this. So I would love to have you back.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I'm so thrilled that you invited me on, and I just really hope that this reached somebody today. And I just want to say, like, especially as Black women, like, we gotta love on ourselves. We gotta love on ourselves. And if style in any way can help that be a pathway for you to do that more, then use it for that.
I told you. Didn't I tell you this was going to be a really good episode? And I know for a fact that you probably got the feels when you heard her story and her coming into her style. I know you felt the feels because I did. It gave me goosebumps. So if you want to catch up with Brandy, if you want to work with her, if you just want to see what she has going on, or if you're interested in her 30-day offer, head to the show notes. All of her links are going to be in the show notes. Let her know that you are coming over from the podcast and do something for you, okay? Let this be a gift to yourself that is just for you. If you enjoyed this episode, definitely rate, review, and I definitely have put polls and questions if you are a Spotify listener. So if you could go over there and answer, let's start having a conversation. I don't want you to just listen. I want you to engage. I want to know what it is you're looking for. I want to know what you felt. I want to be able to give Brandy information about how this episode fed your soul. Also, don't forget to join me over at Owning Pleasures of Black Women XXX, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. And I hope today's conversation has inspired you to embrace pleasure in all aspects of your life. Remember, your voice matters in this journey. Share your thoughts and experiences by leaving a review and stay connected with our community by joining our email list. The link is in the show notes. Together, we're redefining what it means to savor life and celebrate the joy in just being you. Until next time, keep prioritizing your pleasure because you are deserving. Take care and stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Bye.